Hello.
Hello.
Good day, Jez. I just want to congratulate you for the record company music. Have you heard the record company Hold music?
No.
Oh, it's beautiful.
What is it?
Oh, I don't know, some whaling stuff.
Oh, right. Excellent. What, shooting whales or just...
yeah, hanging whales.
I think we got one.
For a long time there, I thought Swerve Driver were a US band, and then when I started having a look at the covers, I found out you weren't, because like I think coming across Jewel and seeing you in the US and snowboarding, because there's not much snowboarding in Britain itself. So how do you see? Is there more of an American crossover in Swerve Driver compared to maybe a lot of other creation bands?
I don't think we fit into any current fad. I think we've been around for a little bit, or fashion, I think we've been around a little bit too long for that. The people do often say, you know, that we're, more American than British sounding, but that's not by any design. I mean, we're not particularly any more influenced by American bands than British bands. I think it just sort of sounds that way. I think we have, in this country, I don't know if you'd agree or not, but it's the attitude of the band rather than the competence or the ability to play. In America, I find that the ability or the claim that I am a musician is not one that would be derided. I think people still respect the fact that people actually can play their instruments pretty well. That's not to say I'm a muso let's talk numbers and figures and models and stuff. Yeah. But we are very capable of playing our own instruments, which is something the Americans and indeed the Australians seem to hold still with some kind of esteem, whereas here maybe the ability to have a good soundbite for the press maybe is a little bit more important.
Yeah.
So that would be that. And the other thing is, I mean, we've been... A lot of people talk about, us as the America of the mine, wide open roads and Hunter S. Thompson and all that sort of imagery. And I think our music is the sort of thing that, to be honest, countries with big long roads, the Australian thing and the American thing are just a big, thanks very much, the big open highway thing, our records are good things to listen to when you're driving a long distance.
Absolutely, yeah. Swerve Driver, to me, I think of long riff-based sort of dreamscape, sort of like the song happens for the first, like the pop song bit happens for the first 3 minutes, and then it's like a 5 minute wind down, and I love that. That's what I really like. But with Ejector Seat, you seem to have gone back and maybe cancelled out a bit of the long riff-based section at the end. I think it's
a question of just the consolidation of an idea. I mean, the thing about previous albums maybe is that they were more like how it would be live. So the long play out, say at the end of Last Train or something, will still happen probably live. But I think we felt that this time what we'd like to do is just consolidate the ideas and give an idea of the song on the album. And then when we play it live, then maybe we can stretch it out still. But, just for the longevity of the appeal of the album, I think we felt for ourselves, I mean, that's all we're ever writing for is for ourselves, that we'd like to hear the songs and cut out some of the wanking at the end of it, and then maybe put some of that back in live,
with Ejector Seat, I think you might have, it sounds like you've gone back to the creation of the early 90s, like where Ride and all those guys sort of fell over and started sounding like Pink Floyd. It seems that you guys have gone back to where they sounded great. Do you feel that at all? Do you feel like you're sort of latching onto where Creation should have gone?
Well, no. I mean, I'm not a fan of Creation at all. I think it's an appalling label these days. They're controlled by Sony, and they're full of fuck-ups. Having said that, I mean, it's nice of you to say. I think that's all that's happened is that our own band has consolidated its own ideas, and maybe as a result of having been one of those bands that was around at that period, maybe we've just managed to stay together and not blow it big time, and now we're able to make records which are how they should have been 4 years ago. But you know, sometimes a bit of artist development's a little bit necessary.
Stone Roses played here on Monday night and Sunday night as well here in Perth, and one thing I really noticed with them is the big resurgence of the UK Beatlesque sort of thing. Does that make you grimace as well?
Well, not so much the Beatle thing.
Oh yeah, they're sort of very much like the Blur, Oasis, and also listening to Stone Roses, they're very much Rolling Stones from their last album anyway. Does that make you grimace as part of, say, the UK music scene?
No, I think everybody's aware, everybody in the British music scene is aware of the influences of those bands, and I think we wouldn't deny our own influence from those people, but I find copyism a highly offensive form of music, to be honest. In the Oasis scene situation, I just think they laud themselves as the new Beatles, but the new Beatles wouldn't sound anything like the original Beatles. Mm. Because then all they are is the old Beatles rehashed. So I don't see Oasis as being anything but copyists, plagiarists, really. They have a good idea for a catchy pop tune, like on the last album or whatever.
Exactly, or whatever.
Yeah, right, but I just think ripping off songs wholesale and saying that we are, and lauding yourself as being the second coming, you know, excuse the Roses pun, but to laud yourself in that way when you're not actually being innovative, you're just being plagiaristic, I think that's a bit of a sad indictment of the music industry in this country, whereas a band like us, to be slightly immodest for a moment, are probably more innovative than any of those bands, but we don't really have any time for standing around and shouting about it, we just get on with it, and I think over the next, say, two albums that we're going to do, you know, or whatever, yeah, the next couple of records, I think that will come to the fore even more. I think we'll become more of an innovative band, and with more of an idea of what we want as well. So, I think if anyone's looking for a new Beatles or, someone who's as innovative as that, then I don't think they can go much further than look at us, really.
You don't seem to be looking backwards to your older stuff, except for the Son of Jaguar E. Now, what's this about cars and baby cars?
It's a joke, really. This is the thing. I mean, in America, we all of the interviews for months were always, and they always still are, about cars and all of this stuff and the road band and all this stuff. So it's really a joke, and because it came from the Son of Mustang Ford, which was the first single out with. From Swerve Driver, and for some reason everyone decided that was the way they were going to approach our band, has been a car band. So like on the last record we had a song which we called Jewel. Mm. And we named it Jewel after that film, the one where the lorry driver's chasing behind a car guy, it's a car chase with a truck and stuff, so we just called it Jewel as a joke, really. And then with this song, Son of Jaguar E, it's just a joke, really. Instead of being Son of Mustang Ford, well, why not have a British car instead of an American car? Let's have an E-type Jag, because it's a nice car.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. But obviously, people think, well, what is all this thing with this? And all it is, well, I can't think of a better title, so let's take the piss out of one of our old titles. That's pretty much it, really.
Yeah. There's not much press out about Swerve Driver, you know, having infights or slagging off other people. Is that because you just say sod off to the whole corporate and press section?
Well, I mean, I'm talking to you now, so I don't say that. But yeah, we're not particularly vocal about anything. We do. I mean, we'll sit in the pub and have a couple of sherbets and then rant and rave about who's shit. And obviously being in a band, every other band is shit. But but there's no need to sit there and, you know, in an interview situation and slag other bands, because life's a bit short for that. I mean, I'd much rather talk about Swerve Driver than anybody else, because that's what I do. I'm not in the game of putting other bands down, you know. Mm. Having said that, if you ask me a direct question, I'll give you a direct answer, you know. Ask me about Oasis.
What do you think of the brothers of Oasis?
They're dog shit. They are a pair of mouths waiting to be filled in.
No, I feel like a reporter from NME there. I don't want to go into that.
NME reporters will get you drunk and then ask you about how do you feel about being really esoteric. Do you know what I mean? And then when you don't have the answer, they'll say you're stupid. So unless you're Oasis, in which case they'll ask you how much a portion of chips is in Manchester and tell you that you're the new Baudelaire. But you know, whichever.
Yeah, do you see Swerve Driver as commentators? Because supposedly Blur and Oasis are sitting on the windowsills of urban existence and all this sort of thing, and looking at the decay of England.
I'm on the 15th floor and someone pushes.
Yeah.
If they're sitting on the windowsills of existence, mate, they should be at the top of a skyscraper and someone needs to push them off the windowsill. Into the street. Yeah, we're more voyeurs, really. We're not trying to participate in a culture, participate in a fad or a fashion. We're just playing in a band which happens to make wonderful music. Mm. And that's sort of enough for us. I mean, for some people it isn't, but for us it just seems to be that it is. Things about this band, the fact that we call Adam and Jimmy the man with two brains, because when they work together, they react sonically and musically to what each other are playing. I mean, they've known each other for 18 years or something, for a long time, and Jimmy actually taught Adam to play guitar initially, because Jim's a year or so older than Adam, so they really do have a man with two brains approach to playing music, which I find fascinating. And I also find the idea of, okay, we need something that sounds like a harmonica here. Let's make a guitar make a sound that approximates a harmonica, rather than get blind mellow hound dog knuckles and play up from it. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I much prefer that. I like hearing a Fender Jazzmaster sound like a Hammond organ, rather than Hammond organ.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's I think sonics are where guitar players. Guitar playing should be. Without a sonic approach to it, all you'll end up with is riffing. I like the sonic approach. I think you'll either end up with wheedly wheedly guitar solos, or else you'll end up with something pretty disastrous. Well, approaching Soundgarden probably.
Yeah.
And so I think sonic experimentation, particularly in a band like ours, is where it's at.
So you're looking at another album already?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we finished this one in February, really, and it's just taken this long to get it out. So in the meantime, we've been writing, and I think we've got another 28, 30 songs. Excuse me, I'm yawning. Oh, dear. I didn't go to bed last night, and I do apologise.
Oh, that's okay.
we've got about 30 new songs, so we're off on tour in November, and then we're going to come to Australia in December, and then I think we're going to be on tour in America for about a year, so we really want to try and have another album recorded at least before we go out, so that we just have to take, say, a month off somewhere in the middle of next year and mix it, and then go back on the road straight away.
Right.
So we need some momentum in our lives.